Greetings! This is Dungeons & Devices, a podcast about role-playing games, computer games, technology, and various related topics. This is episode 4, Next Generation ThinkPads. ThinkPad. The name conjures up an iconic boxy black notebook, probably with a red track point knob in the middle of the keyboard, and the whole design comes from the bento box in Japan. The first ThinkPad originally appeared in 1992. It was made by IBM as a personal computing device, and the whole personal computing device of IBM was bought by Lenovo in 2005, and ever since 2005, we have been getting ThinkPads from Lenovo. You've probably seen one. If you typed on one, you might remember it has a great typing experience. If you dropped it or spilled water on it, you might have regarded that it's a tough little notebook. So in this episode, we will be talking about the 2024 lineup of ThinkPads. Some have already started appearing, some will be coming later in the year. I am your host, Leonard, and talking with me today is Benjamin Herzig. Benjamin has been a ThinkPad user since 2010. Originally, he was not a fan of the design, but his first ThinkPad R60 quickly made him fall in love with the quality of the ThinkPads in every aspect, especially the keyboards and the track point. Since 2016, he has been working for NotebookCheck, mostly reporting on business laptops. His current ThinkPad is the X1 Titanium Yoga, which he loves for the 3:2 aspect ratio and premium titanium material. Welcome, Benjamin.
Hi, Leonard.
Hi. So, you have also been a long-time ThinkPad fan. My first ThinkPad was a T500, and ever since that, I really didn't use anything else for work.
Yeah, for me, when I got my R60, I was in school, so I didn't have a lot of money, so it was a used model. And before that, I only had a desktop. And for me, it was like my first laptop. And a little bit funny story is the reason I chose it was because I liked the IBM logo. And the if you remember on the ThinkPads, it was a three color. Like it was red, green, and blue. And I really liked that design aspect. And I wanted to have a laptop with the IBM logo. And that's the reason why I chose the ThinkPad originally, because I had no prior knowledge about it. I was 14 years old. I was stupid, as kids at that age generally are. Not stupid in a like idiotic way, but just I didn't know any better. It's I didn't have the knowledge. So yeah, that was my choice. And I couldn't afford the T-Series because I was a school kid.
Yeah, I remember I was watching all kinds of T and X series versions that others have been using and have been wanting to try it out for a long time before I finally was able to. But I haven't regretted moving on to ThinkPad.
Yeah, for me, like back in the day, I got my first R60. It was in 2010. And back then, like the T410 and like this generation was the current ThinkPad generation. And I always looked like in the online shops at like, oh, T410, ooh, T510, ooh, those devices, like, I can never afford these. And now I have an X1 Titanium. And it's like, wow, I have climbed the ladder in terms of ThinkPads for sure.
I also have like a business contact who uses the Titanium one, and it looks really great in person.
How does he like it?
Very much, actually. Not a power user, does a lot of office work on it. Likes it very much.
For me, I think the key point of the Titanium is it has a 3:2 aspect ratio screen, which is very good as a journalist, as a writer, because it provides a lot of vertical screen space, which is great if you're writing. And I also like it has a good keyboard. It's not maybe the best ThinkPad keyboard, but it's for such a thin device, it's frankly an amazing keyboard. I really like it. And of course, it has the track point, which is mandatory for me. I'm a track point user. So maybe for all the listeners who don't know maybe what the track point is, because most laptops these days don't have it, maybe you should explain what it is.
So the track point is red circular thing in the middle of the keyboard or ThinkPads, but it's basically in concept, it's similar to maybe a joystick is the best analogy. So you can move it in the four directions and it will move your mouse in that same direction. So basically it's a way to control your mouse. And that is why ThinkPads nowadays have the physical buttons on the top of the trackpad, because those buttons are actually for the track point and not for the trackpad. Previously, there were two sets of buttons, one at the bottom for the trackpad and one at the top for the track point. Those who haven't tried it don't really understand it. Then some people try it and don't like it, and other people try it and love it and can't live without it. And I also fall into this latter category. I really enjoy it because I can move the mouse without removing my hands from the keyboard, and I find that very efficient when working.
Yeah, for me, when I have to use a laptop that doesn't have it, it feels wrong. It feels like something's missing. I can't use it as efficiently as I can if I have a ThinkPad with me. So that's the reason why I just can't live without it. But of course, it's something that requires some getting used to. For me, certainly, when I first tried it, it wasn't easy. After a few weeks, you can learn it. But that's a good first point you brought up, because we wanted to talk about the new ThinkPads. And of course, you talked about the buttons, which most models still have, but some models maybe don't have them anymore.
Yeah, you are referring to the ClickPad option that is available, I think, at least on the X1 series.
Exactly, the new haptic trackpad, which removes physical buttons, yet again integrates the physical trackpoint buttons into the, not a clickpad, but trackpad.
But they are offered as an option, right? So you don't have to go for the clickpad if you don't want to.
Currently there are, but who knows? This could change in the future again, because this has happened before, and Lenovo does want to try to make, I think, ThinkPads more usable for people who don't use the trackpoint, because that's not the majority of users. Majority of users use touchpad. I think that's a very interesting aspect. Lenovo has the trackpoint, and it's a great part of the design, but it's also in a terms of marketing towards like younger generation who doesn't know the trackpoint is seen as a liability. It's an interesting balancing act that Lenovo has to try to keep the brand identity, but also appealing to the broader market.
So the fact that you can choose either the clickpad or the touchpad, I think it's a good thing, because they can now measure what the users really want and they can have their opinions. But if somebody really wants to stick with the older ones, they can order just the older one, and those who want to try the new one can try the new one. Because I think manufacturers many times just put in something new, and then if it works, everybody's happy, and if it doesn't work, everybody complains, and then they might need to go back. But this is sort of a middle ground to test the waters of what the reception will be.
That's true. Though we should add that the new haptic trackpad is more expensive than the old mechanical clickpad at the moment. So it's also cost up, which, as ThinkPads are business devices that are deployed in mass in big corporations, is a big factor that it's more expensive currently.
So I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens to the pointing devices in the future.
Exactly. I personally don't think that the trackpoint is going to go away at any point, because it's so part of the ThinkPad brand identity. Like, they can't take it out without making it not a ThinkPad anymore. But I think they are trying to find ways to basically work around it to still get all of the advantages of a large trackpad to the trackpad users, but still provide the trackpoint experience to the trackpoint users. That's what they're trying to do, I think.
I prefer physical buttons and the older design, but of course, we'll have to see if it stays available. Now that we are getting onto the inside of this year's ThinkPads, there's also a few changes with the keyboard. And the keyboard has been a very important part of the ThinkPad DNA as well. People are always saying that it has the best typing experience. there are, I think, three changes. So let's go through them one by one. One is the Copilot button. One is the function and control switch. And there is this tactile markings on the keyboards that have been added this year. So I think let's start with the easier ones because one of them is a big subject for ThinkPad users. So let's go with the Copilot button and the tactile markings first.
Copilot button, of course, is a Microsoft initiative, which Lenovo as a big partner of Microsoft has to go through with. If you look at the button, you will see that like the main part of the key inscription is the Copilot function, but you will see also that it has the menu function, that like the right click menu key, which current ThinkPads, last generation ThinkPads now, didn't have. The last ThinkPads that had the menu key were the 2011 models. It's very interesting because actually the Copilot feature currently is not available in the European Union. It is available in the US. The question will be, will have the European units, will they have the Copilot key, or will they have just have the menu key in its place? That's something that I don't know yet. Copilot doesn't have a function yet in Europe because the feature is not available as of now. And the other thing that you mentioned are the markings. And that's very interesting because, of course, it's designed to help people who are visually impaired to type. And you have like markings on the insert key and the volume buttons, of course, also the enter key and the FN key. And those markings are I think a good feature personally, and they may also help like touch typists to type more efficiently, to find the keys more easily. So yeah, that's a good feature, I think, an example of Lenovo doing something innovative, but because I don't think other manufacturers currently do this. So yeah, that's a very interesting feature, and it's coming to most new ThinkPads. Not to all, though, because some of the models, like the new ThinkPad E series or the new ThinkPad X series, they don't get redesigned this year, so they don't have the markings yet. Could be a little bit confusing to customers, like, oh, this model has it, but this other model doesn't have it, and they're both from the same year, so that's something to look out for.
I think that rolling out features gradually has always been a problem, or maybe a feature of how these things are executed.
For sure.
Sorry. Also, you mentioned other manufacturers. I think the F key and the J key and the down arrow key have, in many cases, the little marking. And I think those are retained in this new system. It just adds some to the additional keys.
Yeah, exactly. Those keys, I think, are pretty much industry standard. Just the additional ones are not present on other manufacturers' devices.
I also really like that they did this because people with disabilities like need some help. For example, I heard that after mobile phones turned out to be big touch screens, people with disabilities have like problems because they cannot feel anything on a display or on a sheet of glass. So this, that at least on the keyboards, they get more markings. I think it's a good step forward.
The FN and control key switch, that's a more controversial thing. As you know, ThinkPad fans are used to the old way, the FN key on the left side of the control key. But of course, that's one of the most common complaints about ThinkPads by non-ThinkPad fans, that the control key is wrong compared to other manufacturers. So yeah, that's a case where Lenovo finally yielded to the pressure and basically reverted to what is standard in the industries these days.
Is there a correct order in your opinion?
No, because the FN key is a non-standard key. If you look where the keyboard design comes from, it's from desktop keyboards from like the 80s, from like the Model M series. That's where the keyboard layout as we have it today was defined. And of course, desktop computers didn't have an FN key. It was added to laptops, and some manufacturers chose to add it to the left of the control key and some to the right of the control key. And eventually, most manufacturers settled on the way it is, the control on the left, FNO2 right. And Lenovo just stuck with the way that IBM said it, which is FN on to the left. There's no right or wrong. It's a non-standard key. You can have it both ways. But the interesting or good thing is that on the new ThinkPads, the keys are actually the same size, like the keycaps. If you are daring, you can switch out the keycaps if you want, and you can have it the old way. That's certainly an option. And of course, you can switch the function still in the BIOS as you could before. So really, I think it's not great for ThinkPad fans, especially if you're a long-time fan and you are used to the old way. But there are still ways to get around it.
Do you know if it's officially supported, actually changing the keys, or is it just something that the more daring ThinkPaders can try to do it themselves?
I don't think it's officially supported, but I think Lenovo consciously made the choice to make those keys the same size as a nod to the fans, that they can still, if they want to tinker with it, they can. Because before that wasn't possible, because the control key was always wider than the FN key. But I don't think they will officially like say, hey, just switch to keycaps. No, that's not an official option, of course.
I know I rarely look at the keys myself, so for me, it really doesn't matter what's printed on the key. And as you mentioned, there is an option to change them in the BIOS. So for those who really want to, they can just switch it out. And
sure, sure. But as you know, that some people have OCD, so those people need to work with those devices as well. So I think it's a good option for those kind of people.
Yeah, and also if you use external keyboards, then your muscle memory is like being tested to remember on which keyboard, which key is in which position. So it's, I think it might make sense that it will be the default to look like all other keyboards and other notebooks. And then those who really want to, they can just switch the functionality.
Exactly.
Last year we had the X1 Yoga, and this year we don't have an X1 Yoga, right?
Yeah, well, we do. We do have an X1 Yoga. Funny story I can tell. When Lenovo sent us at Notebook Check the NDA files for this year's CES announcement with the new X1 2-in-1, one of the folders in that NDA file was named X1 Yoga Gen 9. So I think even there, it took a little while to set in that there's a new name now. And yeah, it's all the ThinkPad Yogas are now named 2-in-1. And well, they have now announced the X13 2-in-1 as well, and the L13 2-in-1. So those devices also were named Yoga before. So yeah, that's a global change for all the devices formerly known as ThinkPad Yoga.
Do you know why they wanted to get rid of the name? Especially since I think on the first Yogas, they always printed four icons that represented four modes of operation. Let's see if I can recall them. One was the notebook mode. Then we had tent mode, stand mode, and tablet mode, I think. So why not 4-in-1? Why 2-in-1?
I think 4-in-1 would confuse people. They wouldn't understand what 4 means, what 4 modes. I think the most common association is either laptop or tablet. And those in-between modes are nice, but they're not like their own device class. Why did they want to change it? I don't know if they wanted to change it. I think they had to change it because it was confusing to customers. Of course, there is the Lenovo Yoga brand, which is their consumer brand. And that brand has changed in recent years from being about premium convertible laptops to just premium laptops. So it's not just convertibles, it's also clamshell laptops. And now they have the Yoga Pros, which are like MacBook Pro competitors. It's not understandable to customers why ThinkPad Yoga means convertible and Lenovo Yoga is just a consumer premium brand. And it's just like a clash of marketing claims. I think they didn't want to let go of the name. That's why it stuck around so long, despite the Lenovo Yoga consumer brand. but I think at some point they just had to realize it doesn't make sense to continue it. So yeah, then now they changed it.
I was really fond of the name, so I'm a little bit sad to see it go, but of course it makes sense to make it more understandable what your computers are actually doing and make it easier for people to choose a computer based on these names and not confuse them.
Also, I'm personally not happy with the two-in-one name because it's like say X1 two-in-one. That's so many numbers. Like, and it's also not great. Like for me as a journalist personally, because like try googling X1 two-in-one. It's not as great as X1 yoga for like SEO purposes. It's not an ideal change. I wish they would have found a different name for those devices, but. Hey, now it's 2-in-1, so done deal. I guess from now on, that's how they are called.
Let's talk a bit about what's inside this year. So about the processors that they are getting. Well, of course, that's a discussion of why Intel is changing names again, but now they are called Intel Core Ultra. Can you tell us some things about that?
Oh, for sure. I personally was invited by Intel to their launch of Meteor Lake, which is of course Core Ultra, the code name. And Meteor Lake is really a very big processor release for Intel. And while in actually like terms of performance, it's not much better in terms of CPU performance than like a Raptor Lake, the previous platform. It's a big change in terms of manufacturing and design of the processor. And there's a new focus on efficiency, and the graphics performance is massively improved. So it is a pretty big change. Also in terms of like the processor lineup has changed significantly. Like the SKU, you don't have like the P-series CPUs that were available in previous two generations. Now you only have U-series CPUs and H-series CPUs. So there are many, many changes to the Intel lineup. And you will see that most ThinkPads this year will use the Intel Core Ultra processors. Not all of them, but most of them.
We haven't seen the P generation refresh this year yet. Do you think that the same H-series Core Ultra CPUs will make it to the P-series as well? Or are we going to see the HX series in the P series? So because if we look at what Lenovo did with Legion, with the 14th generation, all of their Legions got the HX series CPUs, and they didn't. I don't know if there is a 14th gen H series CPU available.
I think it depends on which model we are talking about. P16, for example. That's HX, and that will, remain on HX because that's the big platform for like the big workstations. For smaller models, I think they can go Core Ultra. Of course, we have to wait until those devices are announced. So I think we will see some Core Ultra probably, but probably not in the really, really big ones because those are HX, yeah. And to answer your question, no, they don't have a 14th gen H series. 14th gen is only a desktop plus HX for the really big laptops.
What do you think is the reason that the P series is not yet announced? Because in previous years, it was tied to the release of the HX and H series CPUs. And because they came always later, then the P-Series was announced maybe April, May, sometimes even June, I think. But now this year, already the gaming laptops have been refreshed for 14th generation. So is it like Lenovo is used to announce the P-Series at the end of the spring, so they are keeping to that schedule? What's your opinion on this?
It may be the case that this year's HX series is more focused on gaming devices, because we generally don't have seen a lot of workstation refreshes yet, not just with Lenovo, but also with other manufacturers. I think maybe that's in decision by Intel, not necessarily by Lenovo. So we will see if there will be more workstations to come. Generally, P-Series is more of like a summer release schedule. usually. So I think maybe there are still some devices coming. We will have to wait and see.
Okay, let's touch on the subject of AMD processors in ThinkPads. I think they haven't announced anything new on that front yet, but of course, I don't think AMD has announced anything new just yet this year.
The thing with AMD is, as you said, they don't have really announced anything new. So AMD has announced the Ryzen 8000 series, but of course AMD now has their new naming system, which relegates the 8000 name to meaninglessness. So actually they have only announced a Ryzen 8040 series, and the 40 series is just rebranded 7040 series. So it's not a new processor at all. It's just a refresh of last year's models. So they don't have currently any new processors for laptops. So yeah, I think that's one of maybe the reason why there's not a lot of movement with AMD. But there has been some movement. So we have some new ThinkPad models with AMD. The new ThinkPad T14 Gen 5, of course, has been announced with the Ryzen 8040 series. And there also recently been an announcement that the new ThinkPad L series, just of course a budget series for big enterprise users, will be available with newer Ryzen chips, because last year those devices were limited to Ryzen 730, and the 730 series was based on Ryzen 5000, and the new models, which is the ThinkPad L16, right, and the new ThinkPad L14 Gen 5, those will be based on Ryzen 735, which is Ryzen 6000. So that's very complicated, but it means that those new models, they gain a whole host of new technologies. Like they gain PCIe Gen 4, they gain DDR5, they gain USB 4, RDNA 2 GPUs. So that's really a good progress for like the budget series. They get better processors than last year.
All right. We have seen a lot of AMD ThinkPads in recent years. I think certainly much more than just even a few years ago. People have always wanted AMD ThinkPads and now they are getting them. So hopefully that trend will continue because having a choice is always, I think, a good idea.
This year, there have been a reduction in AMD models. The T14S, which prior was available with AMD, is no longer available with AMD. Same for the T16 and the X13. So we will have to wait and see if those devices are just waiting for the actually next-gen AMD process, or if they are just not available with AMD anymore going forward. I guess we will have to wait and see. Maybe it's a case of Lenovo tidying up their lineup. They maybe saw that those devices didn't sell that much. I guess we have to wait and see if those devices will get an AMD release eventually.
Do you expect to see Thunderbolt 5 in ThinkPads this year, or where is Thunderbolt 5? I think there have been some announcements that Thunderbolt 5 is finally here, but then nobody really announced anything using it, so it's maybe that we just have to wait until the hardware actually catches up to the news.
I think it's a bit too early for Thunderbolt 5. I think it's not yet part of like the Intel platform. Of course, Intel is the main proprietor of Thunderbolt technology. So maybe with the next gen Intel processors, which of course coming like early next year, late this year, we have to wait and see what will be announced.
I think we got through a lot of ThinkPad features that this year have been announced and that describe what is available this year. We didn't touch into the exact models, but there are so many nowadays that I don't think we should list them all or anything. Is there any other piece of feature that you want to mention?
For sure. For me, I think one of the big things this year is the fact that Lenovo is returning to socketed upgradable RAM with the T series. That's a big step towards a more repairable, modular design, which is what a lot of people want. And I think that's a really good step forward for repairability standpoint. And actually, the new E series, which is also a budget series, has been announced and also returns to fully upgradable RAM. I hope that this trend towards more upgradability continues. That's a big one. And one other thing that I wanted to mention is that there has been a reduction in like some models are being discontinued. For example, the X1 Nano, which was always available in last year's popular like small one. This one, I don't think will be continued. So there's some consolidation, I think, this year, which is part of the bigger trend of the PC market. I think the PC market was really exploding during the COVID time. Like, people just needed PCs, and all of the PCs were sold out. And now there's been like the opposite direction. Like, oh, now everyone has bought a PC during COVID, and now no one is needing a new PC. So there's been, the sales numbers have gone down. That's a big trend, and I think the industry is really trying to reverse it with the push towards AI PCs, which of course, as we mentioned, Copilot, that's a big feature that Microsoft is trying to push. Yeah, I think it's an interesting year for sure for PCs in general and for ThinkPads as well.
I really hope that they put the Copilot button on the European versions as well, because I think it's only a matter of time before the EU handles the regulations and then Copilot can work in the EU.
Of course. It's just a question, how long will it take? Because it's confusing to customers, of course, if you have a function on a button that does nothing, right?
Yeah, that's true. But then, because you buy ThinkPads for several years, if it becomes available later this year or next year, then you are stuck with a computer without the key. Of course, I think for now, on computers that don't have the Copilot key, you can just press Windows and C, which should open Copilot. So it's not a complicated thing to use anyway.
Microsoft is really trying to push it. So I think most PCs will have it. Though, funny thing, actually, the new X1 Carbon won't have it, which is a funny like oversight, I think, on Lenovo's part, because X1 Carbon and the new X1 2-in-1 have the fingerprint reader in the position where the Copilot key would be on the new PCs. So there's like, the premium models, sorry, we just forgot to put it in.
Yeah, I guess it can be down to timing. I mean, how these things get designed and at what point during the design phase Microsoft really decided that they want a dedicated key. It might or might not be possible. As you mentioned, they have the fingerprint reader, so that might complicate things because it's not just a regular key that you have to put somewhere else.
Probably pretty hard to move it around that late in the design stage.
So now the ThinkPads for this year are starting to come out, and some have already arrived and some are arriving later. And as we discussed, the P series is probably announced later. What are you looking forward to at the next CES with ThinkPads? Is there something that you would like to see changed going forward?
Current models are pretty good all around. Of course, there's some controversy surrounding some features. For example, the camera bump or reverse notch. That's a controversial design feature on the newest models. So be interesting to see if Lenovo will continue with that. My wish for ThinkPad, I guess, it's that they continue to focus on what the people actually need and not like what maybe the industry trend is. For example, if the industry trend is to adopt like Dell has done with the XPS series, to adopt a touch bar or like not physical buttons but the touch buttons above the fifth row for the F keys, I hope ThinkPad avoids going in that direction and continues to be very practical, very user-friendly devices. That's my hope. And I do wish that they had more 3x2 options, like my X1 Titanium, but that's probably not, sadly, not economically feasible to bring, because by now the 16:10 aspect ratio is firmly established as the standard.
Funny that you mentioned the Dell touch strip, because actually Lenovo did have a touch strip. Was it the second generation X1 Carbon, I think, that had it?
Yeah, that did have it, and that was not a success, I think. So it quickly disappeared again.
And then another manufacturer had like 3 years of touch strip, above the keyboard.
Yeah, let's not mention that manufacturer.
But people were not happy about that either, so I wonder what Dell was thinking when they designed that thing.
I think they were thinking, can we make it look more beautiful? And that's not a mentality that I think is practical for designing a laptop. They can do it, of course, and those devices have a certain interesting look to them, for sure, but are they better than the previous versions with real buttons? I'm not so sure.
But as you mentioned, you also wish that these devices are easy for the users and provide services and value to their users. I think that having this tactile feeling to it is very important for many users. And this year's update with the tactile markings for those who have like disabilities just underlines how important tactile buttons are. I see that this trend to put in something like a touch sensitive bar on the keyboard goes against it, because it's again the same thing. Those people with vision disabilities will not be able to use that at all.
Yeah, it's not driven by practical design. I don't think so. And neither is probably the trend going to haptic trackpads that are embedded in the palm rest, which is also something that Dell is doing on the XPS line. So the haptic trackpad is not distinguished from the palm rest. It's just one plane part. And that's also, I think, more difficult to use for people with a disability, because they don't see, they don't feel where's the border of the touchpad area. That's not a positive trend. We will see which trend will win out in the end, the practical one or the more stylish and good-looking one.
I think we covered all the ThinkPad news or features for this year. So I would like to thank you, Benjamin, for joining me and talking about ThinkPads with me.
Yeah, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk about ThinkPads. It's very enjoyable for me.
You have been listening to episode 4 of Dungeons and Devices, a podcast about role-playing games, computer games, technology, gadgets, and gaming. I am your host, Leonard. Music is Boss Battle by Celestial Aeon Project and Everrune. Dungeons and Devices releases new episodes every second Thursday. You can find this podcast in most podcasting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, or Amazon Music. If you would like to subscribe, go to dungeonsanddevices.com, where you can also join in on the discussions, or email us podcast@dungeonsanddevices.com. Farewell until our next quest together.